Hey, leader, and welcome to episode number 362 of the L3 Leadership Podcast, where we are obsessed with helping you grow to your maximum potential and to maximize the impact of your leadership. My name is Doug Smith, and I am your host, and today's episode is brought to you by my friends at Baratung Advisors. We're also recording live from the new Return.com studio. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here, and I hope that you'll enjoy our content and become a subscriber. Know that you can also watch all of our episodes over on our YouTube channel, so make sure you're subscribed there as well at L3 Leadership. And as always, if you've been listening to us for a while and it's made a difference in your life, it would mean the world to me if you'd leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever app you listen to podcasts through. That really does help us to grow our audience and reach more leaders. So thank you in advance for that. Well, leader, in today's episode, you're going to hear me share a personal lesson on the subject of measuring success, and I think it's going to add a ton of value to your life. But before we dive into that, just a few announcements. This episode of the L3 Leadership Podcast is sponsored by Baratung Advisors. The financial advisors at Baratung Advisors help educate and empower clients to make informed financial decisions. You can find out how Baratung Advisors can help you develop a customized financial plan for your financial future by visiting their website at baratungadvisors.com. That's B-E-R-A-T-U-N-G advisors.com. Securities and investment products and services offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Baratung Advisors, LPL Financial, and L3 Leadership are separate entities. I also want to thank our sponsor, Henny Jewelers. They're a jeweler owned by my friend and mentor, John Henny. And my wife, Laura, and I got our engagement and wedding rings through Henny Jewelers and had an incredible experience. And not only do they have great jewelry, but they also invest in people. In fact, for every couple that comes in engaged, they give them a book to help them prepare for marriage. And we just love that. So if you're in need of a good jeweler, check out HennyJewelers.com. And I also want to thank our new sponsor, Return.com. And leader, let me just ask you this. Have you ever had an interest in investing in real estate? Well, now for as little as $500, you can become a commercial real estate investor. Just visit Return.com to learn more. That's R-E-I-T-U-R-N.com. Investing involves risk. Please consult the Return Offering Circular if you're interested in investing. And with all that being said, here's my lesson on how you should measure success. Hey, leader, today I'd like to talk to you on the subject, how you should define and measure success in your life. And here's what I found. I found that how your life is going and how my life is going is often in direct correlation to how we're measuring and defining success in our lives. What does that mean? Well, I found that in my life, the hardest times I've gone through and the hardest seasons that I've gone through are often because I am not properly measuring and defining success in my life. And so I'm more stressed out. I'm more likely to burn out. I'm less energized. I'm more depressed. I'm more down. But I found that the seasons where I'm at my best, where things are going really, really well, are often the result of me measuring and defining success properly in my life. And so what I want to do in this lesson is basically walk you through ways that I've improperly defined and measured success in my life. And I think that you'll relate to a lot of them. And then I want to talk to you about ways that I've started measuring and defining success in my life. And the difference that that has made in my life has made all the difference. And I think it's going to add a ton of value to you. So with that said, let's dive in. Here are five ways that in the past I've improperly measured success in my life. Number one, measuring my success in comparison to others. Measuring my success in comparison to others. Have you ever done this? If you've been following the podcast for a while, many of you know that I went through a really dark season in the fall of 2020. And one of the primary reasons for that, as I was going through therapy, is my therapist said, you often have unrealistic expectations of yourself internally, Doug. You often have unrealistic expectations of yourself internally. And he was absolutely right. The pressure that I put on myself in comparing myself to others was absolutely insane. In the area of leadership, literally, I would always compare myself to John Maxwell. And I would think, if I don't have John Maxwell's leadership influence, if I don't have the ability to lead like John does, then I'm not a leader. In the area of finances, I would measure myself and my success against Dave Ramsey and think, if I don't own a multi-million-dollar business, then I'm not successful financially. In the area of physical fitness, if I don't look like The Rock or Arnold Schwarzenegger, then I'm not successful. Now, fortunately, that comparison was pretty close, so I didn't really have to worry about that one, but I'm just joking. But when it comes to podcasting, if I don't have the listenership of Joe Rogan and Carrie Newhoff, then my podcast is nothing. And man, that took such a toll on me that I literally burned out of stress and so many other things. And so if you're defining and measuring your success in comparison to others, I'm telling you, you have it all wrong. Number two, I'm measuring my success based on what I have or what I don't have. Have you been here? Measuring my success based on what I have or what I don't have. right? If I just had that house, then I would feel successful. If I just had that position, then I'd have success. If I just had that item or that object, and we measure success based on things, and that will never make you happy and it will never energize you. And so it's not a great way to measure your success. Number three, measuring my success based on where I am in my journey. Measuring my success based on where I am in my journey. You know, how many of you, and this is me, especially in my early 20s, like you want to be so much further ahead than where you actually are. And instead of actually celebrating where you've come from and how far you've come, you're constantly looking out and comparing yourself to where you think you should be at this season of your life. And if you do that, I'm telling you, you're going to be miserable all the time because you're never going to be where you want to be in life. Number four, measuring success according to numbers. Measuring success according to numbers. And leaders, I'm speaking to you, whether you're in a business, a nonprofit, a church, I think everyone deals with this. But, you know, examples of this are how many people are here? How many followers do I have? How many downloads do I have on the podcast, et cetera? And this used to bog me down so much. We used to do live events with L3 every single month. And events where we had a ton of people, man, bravo, I felt like $1 million. And events where we had, you know, a handful of people, literally, I couldn't even enjoy the event. I remember just sitting in the front row listening to the speaker. My heart was in my stomach, and I used to have to write in my journal, like, my value is not based in how many people are in this room. But when you measure your life and your success according to numbers, you're always going to be disappointed because there's going to be high highs and low lows. You can't do that. And we're going to talk about how you should measure success. And then number five, the fifth way that I've improperly measured success in the past is thinking that the amount of money I have is my measure of success. Basically measuring success by money. You know, I love what Zig Ziglar said. He said, money isn't everything, but everyone wants to find that out for themselves. And again, if you are measuring your worth and your value and your success based on how much money is in your bank account, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how much money you end up getting in your bank account. It will not fully fulfill you and make you happy. And so those are ways that I've improperly measured success. And as I've talked to hundreds and thousands of leaders, I've realized that they also measure success in a lot of those ways. And so I found that when I am only measuring myself in those ways, I end up being miserable and I'm not having a great season. I never feel like I'm good enough. I never feel like I'm far enough along. I never feel like I have enough. And it just makes me feel extremely inadequate. And so I had to learn to change how I define and measure success in my life. And so what I want to do now is just share 9 ways that I've been defining and measuring success in my life. And I hope that some of these will resonate with you. And I hope that you'll implement some of these in your life because I think they can be life-changing. The first way I measure and define success correctly is I measure success based on my whole life, not just a part of it. I measure success based on my whole life, not just a part of it. And probably one of the greatest examples I've heard of this is Zig Ziglar shared a story of a young mentee that he was mentoring. And this young mentee really admired this other businessman who had a ton of money. And he told Zig Ziglar, he said, hey, I want to be like that guy. Like, that's who I want to be. And Zig said, well, why? He's like, well, he's so successful. And he's like, well, what makes you think he's successful? And he said, well, he's loaded. Like, he has everything that he ever wants. And Zig said, okay, I think this is a time to teach you a lesson. And let's sit down and talk about this person that you're looking up to. He said, if you're just looking at success and how successful he is when it comes to money, then you're absolutely right. He has more money than he knows what to do with. And so if we just look at that area of his life, we can both agree, yes, he's very successful. But let's look at all the other parts of his life and actually see if you still think he's successful. And he said, let's look at his life in the area of relationships. He said, do you know that guy's been divorced multiple times? He can't keep a marriage and he has no really, really close friends. And basically all he does is focus on business. And the kid said, no, I had no idea that that was the case. And he said, and spiritually, he doesn't believe in God. He has no relationship with God. He doesn't feel like he has purpose in life other than this to make money. And that's all he focuses on. And so he really doesn't have a spiritual life. And then he talked about, you know, other areas of his life to save time. And basically every area of his life, with the exception of money, was not great at all. And Zig said, hey, after reviewing his whole life, every area of his life, would you still want to be like him? Do you still want what he has? And the mentee said, absolutely not. I had no idea. And it totally shifted how he viewed success. And so my question to you is, do you measure success based on your whole life? You know, my mentor, Larry Betancourt, I remember him when I was a young leader. He said, Doug, man, I have a lot of friends that have more money than me and more stuff than me. But can I tell you this? They don't have the peace that I have. They don't have the marriage that I have. They don't have the kids that I have because they're focused on the wrong things. And so, you know, look at your life, look at your physical fitness, look at your bank account, look at your family, look at your relationships. Like, all of that makes up your life. And so don't just measure success based on one little sliver of your life. Make sure that your whole life is great. And I think that'll help you a lot. The second way that I've learned to define and measure success correctly is from a principle that Dan Sullivan, who is the owner of Strategic Coach, shared. And he actually wrote a book on this subject called The Gap and the Gain. And this was so helpful for me. And I share this with people all the time. But he basically calls the gap and the gain. He said when he was young, he loved horizons. He loved sunsets and sunrises. And so he would always go look at the horizon. And he would always try to get a closer and closer view. But he said the closer you get to the horizon, the farther away it seems. And he said, usually in life, if you just chase the horizons of your life, if you only look into the future to measure how successful you are, and you're measuring yourself against your ideals and dreams, you're never going to feel like you're enough, and you're always going to be disappointed and depressed. He said, what you need to do, instead of measuring forward based on where you want to go, you need to measure backwards, you know, and that's what he calls the gain. And looking back at the last 5 to 10 years of your life and saying, how far have I come? How far have I come? Stop measuring yourself against how far you have to go. Start measuring yourself against how far that you've come. And I think if you actually sit down and take the time to journal and write down all that you've done in the last 3, 5, 10 years, you'll be shocked at how far you come. And you'll be shocked at how proud you are of yourself and just how happy you are with the growth that has taken place. And so stop measuring against the gap that you have with your future and start measuring against the gain you have in your past. And I'll also just say this to encourage you. If you do review your past and you feel like you haven't made progress and you're not where you want to be, the great news is you can start today. You can start making progress on building a great life right now. I say it all the time, but if you don't start where you are, you stay where you are. And one of my favorite quotes is, although you cannot go back and have a brand new start, my friend, anyone can start from now and have a brand new end. And you have a wonderful opportunity starting today to start making daily progress that you'll be proud of a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. So start where you are, but learn to measure against the gains, not against the gap. Number three, success is all about developing your potential. Measure success by developing your potential. And I underlined your there. I heard Erwin McManus say this recently, and it just really hit home. You know, Erwin is someone that I've admired. If you've ever heard Erwin communicate, he's a world-class communicator. And he said, you know, people were always comparing themselves to me and they want my communication skills, et cetera. But he said, let me tell you this, if your happiness is based on fulfilling someone else's potential, you're going to be very unhappy. But if your happiness has to be connected to fulfilling your own potential. I'll say that again because I thought that was so good. If your happiness is based on fulfilling someone else's potential, you're going to be very unhappy. Your happiness has to be connected to fulfilling your own potential. And so the example I'll use here is podcasting for me. I already said it before. If I compare myself against other people's podcasting potential and I look at Joe Rogan and Carrie Newhoff and they're having millions upon millions of downloads every single month and I'm only having thousands and thousands of downloads every single month, you know, I can get very discouraged. Or I can start to look at it and say, hey, I'm doing the best I can to develop the best podcast that I can with the potential that I have. And I believe I'm supposed to do this. Hey, and I'm reaching thousands and thousands of leaders every single month. Like, that is incredible. That is what I need to celebrate. I don't need to compare myself against other people's podcasting potential. I need to compare myself with my potential and do the best that I can. And when I do that, I'm actually really, really happy with my progress and really happy with the podcast. And so again, stop comparing yourself to other people's potential. Compare yourself to your potential and just do your best to grow every single day. Number four, this was probably the first definition of success that I started implementing my life in a positive way in my early 20s. I heard John Maxwell say this, and this was his definition of success from a very early age. He said, success is three things. Success is knowing my purpose in life, growing to my maximum potential, and sowing seeds to benefit others. Success is knowing my purpose in life. And for me, I believe as a person of faith, that comes from God. If you're following God, I believe God has given you gifts, talents, and passions that he wants to use in a significant way to make a difference on the earth. And when you actually connect with the purpose of God that God has for your life, your whole life changes. You wake up every day excited. You never have to work a day in your life. Like, it is amazing what happens when you get to live out your purpose. There's nothing better. Number two is growing to my maximum potential. Hey, that's what this podcast is all about. It's coming alongside of you and helping you grow. I heard it said a long time ago that growth equals happiness. And if you want to be happy and feel successful all the days of your life, grow every day. You know, if you want to show me a happy marriage, show me a growing marriage. If you want me to see a happy company, show me a growing company. Anything that's growing is usually happy. So growing to my maximum potential. And then number three, sowing seeds to benefit others. You won't truly be happy until you give your life away. In fact, my mother-in-law used to say this to us all the time. The secret of life is to give your life away and to make an impact. And if you start doing that, if you start dying to your wants and needs and start giving your life away for the betterment of others, I'm telling you, that definition of success is so good. So I'm so thankful for John for letting me know his definition of success. Number five, this is another one I got from Maxwell, but was huge. And he said when he started turning around 40 years old, he started realizing that a lot of his friends started getting divorced and walking away from their family. And he realized it was because they were too focused on their business world and success and all these other things. And they got their eye off the ball of their family. And he was actually afraid because he loved leadership, loved growing his company. And he said, if I don't redefine what success looks like in my life in my 40s, then I could lose everything. And so he said, the definition I started using to define success in my life in my 40s was this. He said, success is when those closest to me love and respect me the most. So good. Success is when those closest to me love and respect me the most. And I think this is so true that it's so easy to take your family for granted because they do love you unconditionally and no matter what, and you see them every day. And so as leaders, we always want to grow our influence and we become so concerned about what the outside world thinks of us. But the reality is it really doesn't matter what the outside world thinks about you. What matters most is what those who know you the most think about you. And so for me, again, I've been using that definition since we started having kids and since I got married. Like, I want my wife to love and respect me more than anyone else on the planet. I want my children to love and respect me more than anyone else on the planet. Family really is everything. And leaders, I'm telling you, if you don't define success in this way early, you could put yourself in danger of losing your family without even knowing it. And so properly define success within your family. Number six, success in life is experiencing more of the four freedoms. Success in life is experiencing more of the four freedoms. And again, this is a concept I've been focused in on for the past year and a half. It's a concept I got from Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach. Again, he's been so influential in my life. But he basically said there's four freedoms to pursue in life. Number one is freedom of time. Number two is freedom of money. Number three is freedom of purpose. And number four is freedom of relationship. And basically, I am trying every day to build a life where I have freedom of time, money, purpose, and relationship. Freedom to have all the time I have to do what I need to do, all the money I have to do what I need to do, all the purpose. I can focus 100% on the purpose that God's called me to. And then lastly, I can do life with who I want to do life with and go help who I want to help. And so that's been one of my major goals as far as success is concerned the last year and a half, and I continue to focus on that. Number seven, this is huge. Again, for people of faith especially, success is being faithful to what God puts in your hand. Success is being faithful to what God puts in your hand. And I learned this lesson very, very early. In fact, I would say that this is a life lesson for me. I share this everywhere I go. But when I was 17 or 18 years old, I started interning at a church with Larry Betancourt. And I remember there were several other interns, and all the other interns got all these cool jobs. They got to be on stage. They got to MC. They got to do graphic design. And my only job was to wash pictures in a closet and to set up and tear down from youth group. And I was doing that for 6 months and I just got sick of it. I'm like, I wasn't getting paid. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. I'm giving up all my time to wash pictures and set up and tear down from youth group. I'm done. I quit. And I waited till Larry left for his sabbatical, which he had never had one. So he leaves, he's on a plane, and he gets an email from me saying, I quit. Now, thankfully, I had a great mentor in my life in Larry, and he called me and he said, listen, if you're going to quit, you're going to be a man and quit to my face. And so you're not quitting, at least until I get back. And he said, I'm going to connect you with this other leader and you guys can connect while I'm gone. And when I get back, we'll talk. So he connects me with this other leader. And all the other leaders said to me, he said, Doug, have you actually prayed about this decision? I said, no, I didn't pray about it. There's nothing to pray about. This is stupid. I'm not doing this anymore. And he said, man, I encourage you, just pray, spend time with God and see if he speaks to you. And again, I'm just telling you my experience. I'm not saying that everyone will have this experience. But the next day, I said, okay, God, I literally prayed. I said, if you don't speak to me now, I'm done. I'm walking away from the church. I'm walking away from the internship. I'm going back to my old lifestyle. Like, I'm out of here. And I literally just did one of those things where I opened my Bible to a random spot and just read wherever I read. And I opened the Bible to Isaiah 49, verse 3 through 5. And here's what it says. It says, he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, and you will bring me glory. And I replied, but all of my work seems so useless, and I've spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose. And when I read that, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I feel like that's me. I feel like God, I felt like God had a plan for my life, and that he was saying, like, I am his servant and I'll bring him glory one day. But how I felt naturally was exactly what it says in verse 4. But all of my work seems so useless, and I'm spending my strength for nothing and to no purpose. But the next part of the verse is what changed everything for me. It said, yet I leave it all in the Lord's hands. I will trust God for my reward. I will leave it all in the Lord's hands, and I will trust God for my reward. And God spoke to me very clearly. I don't mean an audible voice, but just in my heart. And he said, Doug, you're looking to all these other people to give you a reward. You're looking to Larry and Pastor John, and you want them to give you a platform. You want them to give you all these cool responsibilities. And you should never look to people and expect things from people. You should just look to me and trust me and be faithful with what I put in your hand. Stop looking to people for your reward and start trusting me for it. And so from that point on, and literally, I'm telling you, if that moment didn't happen, I'm not here today. Like, I don't know where I'd be. And so I'm so grateful that someone encouraged me to pray and take the time to actually do that. And so just another, you know, I always say the answer to 1,001 questions is to be led. And if you're going through a tough time or questioning anything or want to quit, I just encourage you, spend time with God, because he could speak one word to you that changes everything, just like he did for me. But from that moment on, I said, God, if you've called me to wash pitchers and set up and tear down for youth group for the rest of my life, I'm in. I'll do it for the rest of my life. And I started being faithful to washing pitchers and setting up and tearing down. I did that for another 6 months. And all of a sudden, Larry gave me an opportunity to speak. I had no idea I could speak or be a public speaker or that it would lead to all these different things. But I just started being faithful. And as he asked me to speak and do other things, I was faithful. And basically, I just committed to God, whatever you put in my hand in every season of my life, I'm going to be faithful with. And that's worked out really, really well. So I just want to encourage you. Success is simply being faithful to what God puts in your hand and trust his timing and trust him for promotion. You know, I just recently interviewed Micah Tyler on the podcast. Phenomenal interview. Really encourage you to listen to it. But he was talking about the same concept. And I believe he was 23 or 24 when he really felt like he was supposed to go into music as a Christian artist. And so he did that. He left his job as a youth pastor. He started driving a sausage delivery truck. He moved into a mobile home with his family who just had two kids. And he did that for 9 years and literally didn't see any real fruit from music. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, after 9 years of being faithful with what God put in his hand, God opened up a door and he ended up signing a record deal, et cetera. He was 33 years old. And again, he just said, just be faithful. If God tells you to do something, just be faithful with it. And so success to me is being faithful with what God puts in your hand. I love what Eugene Peterson said. He said, success is simply long obedience in the same direction. So good. Success is long obedience in the same direction. Two more definitions for you. Number 8, success is not quitting when it gets tough. Success is not quitting when it gets tough. And when I look over the course of I'll just use L3 leadership for an example, there's been 3 to 5 times in the course of L3 leadership that I've wanted to quit, that I've been in tears, that I've literally told Laura, I'm done. This is stupid. What am I doing? But every time, again, thankfully, Laura is saying, you're not quitting. Did God tell you to quit? Go spend time with God. And every time I did, I didn't feel like it was time to quit and I would press on. And it's so funny that every time I've pressed on when I wanted to quit, something incredible would happen. And I would just realize that if I would have quit, I would have never seen this come to pass. I would have never seen our first L3 one-day conference. I would have never started this mastermind group that I'm in that God is using in a really significant way. And here's what I know. If you quit, you don't know what's on the other side of you quitting. You don't know how close you were to actually making a huge impact. You know, I think I interviewed Scott Harrison a while ago, the CEO of Charity Water, and he was talking about Amazon stock. And he said, you know, I think they've been around for 30 years or something like that. And he said 93% of the value of their stock happened in the last 7 years. If you followed their stock, it looks like a hockey stick. For a very long time, it was pretty flat, but then all of a sudden it went up. And the question was, well, what if Jeff Bezos would have quit at any point thinking that it wasn't going to take off? He would have missed out on 93% of the gain of his stock price because he threw in the towel. And so again, are there times where you have necessary endings and you need to end things? Sure. But in general, I would say more often than not, success should be measured by you not quitting. And I say it every episode at the end of the podcast. I say, don't quit. Keep leading. The world desperately needs your leadership. And when you don't quit, you have no idea what you're going to set into motion in your leadership journey and how many people you're going to impact if you simply make the decision to not quit. And then number 9, success is simply enjoying the journey. Success is enjoying the journey. One of my favorite quotes is from Mae West. She said, "You only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough." And here's what I know. If you'll learn how to properly measure and define success in your life, it's going to enable you to enjoy the journey, because you're going to not compare yourself. You're not going to find your value in the numbers and all these different improper ways to measure and define success. You're just going to simply able to be enjoy knowing your purpose in life, growing your maximum potential, and sowing seeds to benefit others. And there's really no better life than that. And so I hope this lesson helped you. I know that I needed a lesson like this when I was younger. It would have helped me immensely and saved me from some very, very hard seasons. But we live and learn. So I hope this added value to you. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you next episode. Hey, leader, thank you so much for listening to my lesson on measuring success. I hope that it added value to your life. You can find links to everything that I discussed in the lesson in the show notes at l3leadership.org/362. And as always, leader, I want to challenge you that if you want to 10x your life and leadership this year, then you need to either launch or join an L3 Leadership Mastermind Group. Mastermind groups are groups of 6 to 12 leaders that meet together for at least 1 year in order to help each other grow, hold each other accountable, and to do life together. For me personally, mastermind groups have been the greatest source of growth in my life over the last 8 years. And if you are interested in learning about launching or joining your own group, go to l3leadership.org/masterminds or email me at dougsmith@l3leadership.org. And as always, I like to end every episode with a quote. And today I'll quote Jesse Cole, who said this. He said, "If you're not getting criticized, then you're probably playing it too safe." So good. Well, leader, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Know that my wife, Laura, and I love you. We believe in you, and we say it every episode, but don't quit. Keep leading. The world desperately needs your leadership. We'll talk to you next episode.